26 years. Just a teenager when she started, but 26 years. So we honor you today. You can be seated this morning. We're going to sit down. We're just going to talk a little bit. And as you're being seated, I want to just take a minute and before we start and just say to all of you sitting out there, you saw the buildings. I guess this would be the fifth location that the church met in since the beginning. Started in Embassy Suites, which didn't last very long. And then they got their first permanent rented place, which makes it a little bit easier than being in a hotel. And I know that Curtis and Vernell go back to the very beginning, not just the first building. They go back to Embassy Suites, and actually they go back to your apartment, right?
Exactly.
Pastor Lee needed somebody to help him with the printer, and Curtis got the call. And they started going to church there. And so for 31 years, I want to say, Curtis and Vernell, how rare that is in this mobile, transient world that we live in. So bless you today for your faithfulness. And, yeah, I want to ask how many, maybe not at Embassy Suites, anybody here, we had maybe some in first service that you were at the first building. Anybody else that I'm missing? You were at the first building back in the very early. Dennis and Jan were there. Yeah, Dennis and Jan, we honor you today. Praise God for his faithfulness through people. And as we were watching the video, prior to the service, I'd asked Pastor Sue earlier in the week about, the church is not about building, it's about people. And who was the first person saved? And Pastor Sue could tell us the first person that was saved when they moved here, and a lady, and he even remembers her name. So that's just beautiful. I want us to take just a few minutes, and I'm going to ask Pastor Sue some questions. We could sit here all day reminiscing, but we've been in a series called Uncharted, because it's kind of an uncharted step, for people. But you talk about Uncharted was what you talked about when you were there, and you're real happy living in Tulsa, thinking you were planted there, and then the Lord spoke. In fact, our first service in our new building is going to be kind of along this concept about what does God dream, and sometimes he kind of sends you on an uncharted course. And I want to ask you, what was that like for you? What were some of the emotions you have, some of the memories you have, some of that experience, if you'd share with us, please?
I had never been to Austin, Texas in my life before we came here. Didn't really want to come. I like you, but at the time I did not want to come to Austin. I was totally happy being on staff at Victor Christian Center. But when you hear God's voice and you know it's Him, He takes the fear out and you get to obey. But we didn't know a soul here. Not one person in Austin, Texas did we know when God said, I want you to go and pioneer and pastor a church. And so we came, we looked around. We didn't know north from south. And so we drove the highways and prayed, God, where do you want us? Now that you've said come, what part of Austin? And so every time we would get to this corridor out here, we'd both start weeping. And in the whole time the church has been, 31 years, we've never been more than just a few miles from right here. And all of our buildings, they've been real close. And so it was an exciting time to come to, we left our teenage daughter who was in college and brought everything we had, all our life savings, our everything. We weren't planted by anybody. We just started with what God had given us and blessed us with. And I'm thankful that God planted us 31 years ago right here. And, I talked about the first building was an ex-porno place. Some of you have lived in Austin. You probably knew that place down there where we were. And they've torn it down, thank God. Needed to be torn down before we moved in, but every time we'd drive back and forth, we lived way out near Lakeline Mall, that we didn't know where to live, so we got an apartment there. And every time we'd drive past that building, my husband would say, now that would make a good location for a church. I said, no, it would not. There were several times we weren't in agreement. No, that wasn't a very good place for a church. I mean, weeds are grown up. And he had been in real estate before, so he knew how to get in touch with somebody. Finally got in touch with this person to come and talk to us about this building. So they're standing on the steps. We couldn't go in because it's dark. And The man said, I don't know how you could possibly use this building. But if you can, you can have it debt free. Of course, we knew they were going to tear the building down in 7 months, but it sure beat $2,000 a month at Embassy Suites. But we were there 15 months. Then when we got ready to leave, they paid us over $14,000 to move, which was a blessing since
we didn't get a deal like that, by the way.
I tell you, that's what the new beginning is all about. But it was, you know, when I was watching the video a while ago, this is jumping to this building. Every time I watch that him walking through this building saying, this is the sanctuary, this is the lobby, I just want to crack up. We didn't own this building. We didn't have enough money to buy this building at that moment. When we finally realized this building was for sale, we had believed this was our building for about a year or two before they even decided to sell this building. And by the time they finally let us in on the fact that they're selling the building, they had three churches. One of them had full $2 million. Another one had bank financing. And the other one wanted to trade buildings with them, which is what eventually happened. And we had $35,000. Thank God for seed.
Yeah.
You know. So Lee Boss, hi Chris. Lee went to the prayer closet because I said, honey, in the natural, there's absolutely no way to do this. He said, I know, but God said that's our building. So he went to the prayer closet. He said, I'm not coming out until I get a plan. I'm thinking, you better hurry because you have 24 hours. That's how long they gave us to get a plan to present to them. He came back out a few hours later and said, I got the plan, came over and talked to them. And I think they must have been sitting there shaking their head. He said, I'll give you $100,000 down. We didn't have that either. In 30 days, and after, then you give us 4 more months, and we'll give you $500,000 down payment. I said, right, that's God. Had to be. It was so far off, had to be God. Well, when he was walking through the building, we were 7 weeks from possessing this building, and we had maybe $250,000 and we needed $500,000. And so Lee did what faith men do. He got his checkbook out and began to write checks. He gave away money every week for 7 weeks to our missionaries, our ministry partners. You know, in the natural, you don't start giving money away when you need it. But in the supernatural, you obey God.
Sure.
And we closed one day before we were supposed to, because he wanted to have church in here on that Sunday. We moved in on Friday, and we sat at the bank closing, and the pastors that were here, there was quite a committee, and they just shook their heads, and they said, you know, this faith stuff does work.
And he's been faithful all the way through. How many people here were in the early days in this building? That would be 1996, right? We see. Stand up if you would, please. Been faithful here that long. People, got your hand up. Just raise it up. Been here in this building since just about the beginning.
Wow.
That's 20-some years right there. 21, 22 years. We honor all of you. You know, for Pam and me, a little bit of that emotion is the same, because we made our first visit here in 1997 as guest speakers. In fact, I looked it up. It was August of 1997. I think you moved in June of 96, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was our first trip. And though we came from Tulsa, Oklahoma, just like they did, we didn't really know each other back at that point, because we were off living somewhere else. We moved to Tulsa, actually, in 1990. So it wasn't that connection. Then every year, for many years, it got to the point, Pastor Lee, every January, would contact me and say, I want you to come here twice this year. And he said, I want one of them to be in October. And it was always early October. And I'm a big football fan, and I'm from Oklahoma. And OU and Texas always play the second weekend of October. So for all those years, I thought it was about football. He wanted me to watch a football game, and we would some, but it wasn't about that. It had nothing to do with football. It was all about his birthday.
Absolutely.
That he wanted us here to go party and have a birthday party with him.
And he started October 1st.
Yeah, he sure did. Mm-hmm. And that's why I bring that up, because he would take birthday celebrating off the chart, you know.
Yes, he did.
And that was one of the things we loved about him, among many. And then, you know, in the video, the flagpoles. celebration of the 4th of July. That was the biggest day of the year here. It was 4th of July. And that's why at our new church we have the pastor and U.S. Army Captain Lee Boss Memorial Flagpole. We'll have a bronze plaque by it. In fact, we bought a, he'll like this. He's probably looking at it and watching. He says, I like that. We bought a smart flagpole. It's got a light on the top of it that moves with the wind and keeps that flag always illuminated. I think Pastor Lee would like that.
He would like that.
And in fact, it's up out there now. The flag's not on it yet. We can't.
We would like that.
We can't put the flag on it until we get our occupancy permit. But you know, one of the other things that stuck out to me, Pastor Sue, was that in that you talked about how you got saved. Mm-hmm. I want to just talk about that for a second, about the lady knocking on your door, if you would please, and what you remember of that.
At 9, and I think you heard that part of it. I lived in a dysfunctional family. That's calling it lightly. Both my parents were alcoholics, and lots of things went with that in our home. And we were, all four of us kids were miserable. But when the lady knocked on the door, she said, "Would any of you like to go to church?" And I said, "I would." And I was 9. I think I got born again the first Sunday. I was so glad to be where people were nice and in an atmosphere of peace. And so I got saved. And then I figured if God could take care of me, He could take care of my family. So from the time I was 9 till I was 15, I began to nag. I love that word. Nag my father. Now, I love my mother, but there's just something about your daddy when you're a girl. And I began to nag my father to go to church with me. And every Sunday, she'd pick me up, and I'd say, "Dad, are you going today?" "Not today." "Daddy, you going today?" "Not today." So finally, when I was 15, I'll never forget the day, he said to me, he said, "I will go to church with you one time." One. He said, "Don't ever ask me again." And I just told God, here I am, young with God. And I said, "God, you have one chance here." Because he keeps his word. I said, "It's either today or it'll be never." My daddy was the first one to the altar that day. Got saved, walked out the back of the door, took the cigarettes out of his pocket. God instantly delivered him from alcohol. Yeah. You talk about a new family. We had a new family and wanted to know where he's supposed to pay his tithes. Whoa. I said, "You can talk about salvation." My daddy got saved that day. You know, so when we started this church, the first thing I wanted to do was find kids like me and give them a chance. Not only change the children, but change the families. Yeah, yeah. And so we started buying our first location at the porno place. I shouldn't call it that. It was a church.
That's a good place for a church.
Pull a bus up in front of a porno place. Yeah, that's what we did. We began to name the buses. Red, you saw the red, white, and blue. He was patriot. But we named that first bus Gabriel. And then we had Michael. And then I said, "Now what are we going to do? There are no more names." So then we began to name them Fruits of the Spirit. But we, one by one, we would bus children in and then watch God do miracles. There was nothing like watching hundreds of little kids come off those buses and receive Jesus. And we had love altars back at the building on 183. Little kids would come up there, and they were living in places where I had lived, and some worse. And they would just hug you, and you knew that God had changed their hearts. And, you know, we have some in our church today that got saved. Mm-hmm. I can remember the one in particular sitting out on the curb or in front of his house. He'd get locked out of his house. His mom would lock him out, and here we'd come, the bus pastors, and pick him up, bring him to church, and God has saved his life and his family. So I thank God for bus ministry.
I want you all... You know, the video, as I said, was great. It was at the 26-year mark, 25-year anniversary, and I don't think anything speaks it any better. And so I know a lot of you had memories pop up. You saw yourself. By the way, a bunch of you looked a lot younger back then. But anyway, I think as much as anything, I just was struck with this thought. And we could sit here all day, and we're not going to, but finish here in a moment. But of anything that I think we need to just for a moment spiritually contemplate is, think about the one woman that knocked on a 9-year-old girl's door She probably worked a job, probably a mama, probably had kids, went to school and had all kinds of responsibilities, but she found her place to serve in the body of Christ. And it might have seemed so very insignificant to be one of the people out just knocking on a door trying to get some kids to fill a bus to go to church. And then you've sat here and heard the story and watched the story. That's been at least 40 years ago, right? Did that happen? You were nine? It's been at least 40 years ago. Think of all the history. Maybe 50. All the history, all the things God has done through this life and the many lives then that she touched. It just says to me, God is a God that is generational, multi-generational. He just keeps doing it from generation to generation. But all that got kicked off by the obedience of one person. And I think it would cause us all to pause and say, Lord, what's my little part that I can play? It might look like so little here. That lady's probably in heaven today. I don't know what she is or not. She's probably in heaven today. And not till she got there did she begin to see the reward of all that she's done. And so I just want us all to take that out of this today, that every part that you have played here in this church in the past 31 years, from the very beginning to today, it does not go without notice. It does not go without record. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unrighteous that he forget the labor of love that you show forth in his name. Not one ounce of it is in vain. And eternity will reveal the whole picture and the true story. And I want to ask my wife to come up here, and honey, while you're coming, I want to say to you, Pastor Sue, of all the things that sticks out to me about you, you're such a talented, talented person, but is your faithfulness and consistency of being committed to what God's put in your hand and called you to do. And I honor you for that faithfulness today. This church would not exist without that one characteristic, because you'll never know all the stories of the hard stuff, the behind the scenes, the pushing through, the moments where it looked like something wasn't going to happen that they walked through, but the faithfulness of God. We honor you for that today. Honey, I want you to step up here with us and share a thought before we have Pastor Sue pray.
Well, you were talking about the bus ministry, and I think Datron Bolden was one of those that was saved on the bus ministry. Datron was on the stage today, one of the worship leaders this morning. He was one of the ones. And I just think of, you know, since we have been here, Pastor Sue, all the people that have said, Pastor Sue taught me. Pastor Sue instilled in me. Pastor Sue taught me. I'm grateful for the way that you've raised them, because it's made our life a lot easier. Yeah, go ahead. She did a good job with you guys. The foundation that you laid. And they always say when you build something, the foundation is the most important part. I know that when we started building the church, the new church, the new location, it seemed like nothing was really happening for a while. But my husband would always tell me, you know, the foundation is the most important part. They had to dig way down so the foundation would be secure, and that is the most important part. And you guys have laid such a wonderful foundation you built upon, we've been able to build upon. But I just want to say from my heart to yours that you're a hard act to follow, number one. Number two, you just are amazing in that, I don't know if you guys, she has a lot of gifts, but one of her main gifts, I would say, is that she has the ability to remember names. I mean, she doesn't even remember your name and your birthday. She knows your social security number, too. When I came, I remember I didn't have to, you know, we were traveling. I never had to remember names. You know, I met people. I knew that I'd never meet them again, so I didn't worry about remembering their name. And then when I got here, I realized I'm going to have to see these people every Sunday, so I need to learn their names. And I would go to her and I say, how do you do that? You remember their kids' names and everything, but you just, so many gifts and talents. But thank you for the foundation that you laid. But you have been a person that I could stand up, a friend, first of all, but a person that I could stand upon your shoulders. And thank you for giving me that and that foundation that you've laid and everything that you've instilled here. And I'm so very grateful for you, all that you've done. And you know, she was married to a man that had crazy faith, and she had to follow that man with crazy faith. I don't know if Byron is that crazy or not. He seems to be a little on the crazy side, but haven't totally decided how crazy he is. But
he wore tube socks with tennis shoes, too. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Pastor Lee, do I have time to tell that story?
No. Well, you can go quick.
I used to make fun of Pastor Lee because he would wear the white long socks with tennis shoes, you know? And he'd pick us up at the airport a lot of times. He would pick us up by himself because you know where she was? She was at the church calling people. There's some of you that are in this church today because she called you on Saturday to see if you were going to be here on Sunday. I know there are because people have told me that. That's another amazing thing about her. I thought, I can't follow that either. But he would pick us up in shorts and those long white socks and white tennis shoes, which at the time, white tennis shoes were not cool. They're cool now, but they weren't then. And so I said to him one day, I said, because we had this, he was crazy, I was a little crazier. I said, don't ever come to the airport again and pick me up in shorts and long socks and white tennis shoes. I'm not getting in your vehicle because that is embarrassing.
And he would wear them on purpose every time we came.
He'd wear them on purpose just to...
Well, you're expressing appreciation. I know all of you want to. We'll have some refreshment in the lobby. You can hang around and talk when we dismiss in a few minutes. But for appreciation, expression of appreciation from you, the church, we want to give Pastor Sue a gift today to say thank you. We believe in this biblical principle of honoring and remembering. And so this is, I asked Byron, he said, you did not need any more shoes or purses. We were surprised by that, but that's what he said. But this is enough for you to take a first-class trip anywhere in the world you want to go. And it's enough. You can take him, too, if you can talk him into going. He don't like to travel, but anyway. Would you show your appreciation one more time to Pastor Sue? And remain standing, if you would, please. Because I've asked her to conclude this with praying a blessing over our future. I believe it's very important as founding pastors of the church that she speak blessing over us. This is a biblical principle. So would you do that, please, before you go down? And let's receive this prayer of blessing today.
And I thank God for Pastor Jim and Pam for hearing God and answering and obeying. I argued with God for quite a while after he gave me their names. I said, God, I'm not going to do that. And like you heard me say, he said, I'm not asking you to. I've already talked to them. But thank God for your obedience, both of you. Father, we do thank you. We have so much to be thankful for today. We are so grateful for your goodness. We're thankful for your faithfulness, Father. That's how we all learn to be faithful, because we know you and we're part of your family. I thank you for what you've done over the last 31 years. You have been so good to all of us. You've been faithful. And so, Father, I thank you for the journey. As I prayed this morning, you kept saying to me, Sue, the best is yet to come. I'm thankful, Father, for what you have in the future for this church. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that lives will be changed, souls will be saved, ministries will be birthed, Father, and I thank you for that. I thank you for these pastors and their steadfastness. Lord, they hear your voice. And a voice of another, they don't listen to it. And we thank you for the new building. Lord, I thank you for that ground that's sanctified. It was set apart for such a time as this, to be birthed into a church where everyone can call it home. Thank you for the multitudes of souls, Father, that will receive you in that sanctuary, that holy place. Thank you, Father God, for the future. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you are doing, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
I ask you, if you would, please, to be seated for just one more moment. There's one more thing that we're going to do today. It's got a biblical foundation, so if you'll let us go just a few moments longer than we normally do. I want to ask our host team to come and begin to serve immediately and begin to distribute communion elements. And we're going to leave today with taking communion. And there's a biblical reason for this as well. So I'll explain that to you while they're serving you. And if you would, please, as you get your elements, hold them until everyone has been served. And we'll partake together in just a moment as our last act of worship here in this facility, and here is why we're doing this. If you go back to what I started with in the book of Joshua, I was talking about events in the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua earlier, where they took the memorial stones and they erected them to always remember the works of the Lord. And if you go to the very next chapter, you see that the Israelites had two things that they were commanded to do. And at this moment in their journey, as I said earlier, they've crossed the Jordan River, they're camped very close to Jericho, and they're going to see one of the most greatest phenomenal miracles ever worked in the history of mankind, but they don't know that yet. And God told them to do two things before anything in the promised land. And it was, those two things were, first, they circumcised the males. Circumcision was given to the Jews as a covenant sign between man and God. That's not required to be practiced today, because Jesus brought us a new and better covenant, and the circumcision is of the heart, the Bible talks about, preparing a heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to cut away the old and to receive the new. But the other thing he told them to do, we do still observe today, because Jesus commanded us to continue to do it on the night that he was, before he was crucified. And that was to take the bread and cup and to remember the Lord and his work and his sacrificial work. And what he was telling them then at that moment, as they were about to go to Jericho, he was telling them, remember back 40 years ago when we came out of Egypt, God told the Israelites, take the blood of the lamb, apply it to the post of the door of the home. And as you do, when the death angel passes through the land of Egypt, you'll be preserved, protected, and delivered. So the blood was a symbol of deliverance and protection. And because of the presence of the blood being applied, they were saved. And so it became the Passover. And every time we take Passover, we're remembering what the Lord Jesus did, delivering us from the bondage of the slavery to sin. Well, what happened with the Israelites when they came out of Egypt that night? That was when it was instituted. The first year, they observed the Passover. But then right after that, they failed to go in because they wanted to go back, and so that generation had to die. So for now 39 years, there's no biblical record of them observing the Passover, and it had been a command of the Lord. And when they came to that place of crossing the Jordan, now they're going to continue their journey. The Lord said, before you continue your journey and you go into everything that I have prepared for you, I want you to stop, and I want you to take the elements of the Passover and honor me. And so that's what we're going to do this morning as the last act in this building. Because again, it's not about buildings, it's about the journey, the place that the Lord takes us in his kingdom. But as we do this morning, I remind you that the scripture tells us when we partake to do so worthily, not unworthily, meaning that we should examine ourselves before we do. Paul taught us this in the scripture. So I want to ask you to pause this morning and to search your own heart. And as we partake this morning, we're partaking of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But he said to not partake unworthily. What does that mean? That means simply, if there's anything that stands between you and God, ask for his forgiveness. Let the power of his blood cleanse you and wash you. And then partake as a celebration of saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've already done, letting your life be given for me. Every person under the sound of my voice, Jesus went to that cross, died, shed his blood for you specifically. He wants all that could separate you from God to be removed, so there's no separation between you and God. And my prayer is, in this last service in this facility, I prayed this morning, don't let anybody leave here today without a personal relationship with you. Wherever life takes you, to whatever location he takes you, this is all it's about, my friend, nothing more and nothing less. So I encourage you, please, today, if you know there's some stuff that shouldn't be there, take this private moment. We're going to pray and say, Lord, cleanse my heart. I repent. I ask you to forgive me and receive his grace and his mercy. You see, Jesus brought us a new covenant and a better covenant. And under the old, on that Passover night, that was just symbolic of their sins being covered, them being protected and delivered. But this cup today represents the new covenant that does not say our sins are covered. It says our sins are taken away from us, never to be remembered against us again. Everybody say new beginnings. That's what it's about, new beginnings in Jesus Christ. Not about new beginnings in a building. It's not about a building. It's about the relationship we have with the Lord. Would you bow your head in the Lord's presence and just take a private moment? And if you know that you need to settle some things between you and the Lord, the way it gets settled, He's already paid the price. Just acknowledge, I need to receive that price into my life that Jesus already paid, His grace and His mercy, and forgive me of my sins. And as you're privately asking Him that right now, I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me. I'll lead it, but you pray it, meaning it from your heart to Him who is the Savior, knowing that the moment you ask Him, He washes all guilt and shame away. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray it, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. I confess Him as the Son of God and the Savior of the world who died for my sins and paid my penalty that I can be free. Please forgive me of all my sin. Wash my heart clean. I repent. And this day, I confess Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and the Lord of my life. I am forgiven because your word says I am. I choose to believe it. I receive it by grace through faith in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Now give Him praise this morning that you can pray that and say it from your heart. Lord, I thank you today.